WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Becky. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
You are indeed tuned into Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi. Thank you for keeping your radio dial set here to 95.9 WATD. We have a fantastic show lined up for you. It's actually going to be a lot smaller than last week's show. Again, I got to thank everybody who was a part of last week's live event at Campanelli Stadium. Got to thank the Brockton Rocks. Thank our on-air, off-air talent, starting with Rob and Lisa, as well as Larry Nelson, Ben, who is on the board, Sandy Rolick, who was kind of the key person who was setting everything up and making everything happen, plus the folks who were on air with me, Peter Brown and Paul Watson, and our many guests that included members of the city council. We had Representative Jerry Cassidy, Sheriff Joe McDonald, not to mention we had Robert Jenkins and Phil Griffin from the Brockton Redevelopment Authority, and Will Madero. Great show last week. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, podcast is up, and it's extended to 9 o'clock. That's what we were so lucky last week, to go an extra hour. But, you know, they giveth, they take away. So we're going to 7 o'clock tonight. But we have two great guests, fantastic guests. We start off with State Representative Patrick Kearney. Glad to have Patrick on. A lot of conversation with Patrick, starting out with what's the latest? What has he been doing as far as filing bills and some of the work he's been doing in the district and some of the folks who have visited up at the State House? We'll chat with him about that, as we like to do in the State House report. I feel that that feature in this show is, it's a revolving conversation with the folks up at Beacon Hill at the State House. State representatives and state senators here locally are fantastic and come on a regular basis, as well as the constitutional officers, as we have fortunate enough to have the state treasurer, we've had the attorney general on, we've had the state auditor on, and even the governor and lieutenant governor. They've all been fantastic and reoccurring guests on this program. So, again, looking forward to speaking with Representative Patrick Kearney, serving the 4th Plymouth District. He'll be in this room in just a couple of moments. Following him, another fantastic guy. He's a on-again, off-again co-host, Mr. Joe Rossi. You know, Joe is an expert. I think it's awesome that the Patriot Ledger did a nice piece on Joe. Joe's a hard worker. And he really knows, understands the whole landscape when it comes to National Flood Insurance Program, when it comes to flood insurance, the different changes, the nuances, the legislation. Joe's the guy. We'll speak with Joe. As we know, just a little more than a week ago, paying attention to any potential changes, Joe will come in here and chat about that in just a few moments. So stay tuned as we get ready to check traffic right now. Being brought to you on this end by Brennan's Smoke Shop, online at brennansmokeshopma.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and in Pope's Island, New Bedford.
I love when I'm helping customers in the cigar room at Brennan's Smoke Shop, and they say to me, I normally get my cigars online. Like, I don't know. Of course I know you're buying your cigars online, tax-free, avoiding the exorbitant Massachusetts excise tax of 40%. But if you want to pay to fix the roads that the cigars are being shipped on, shop at Brennan's Smoke Shop. Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Because we pay our taxes.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We return for our first segment, first of two here on Monday Night Talk, as we are having an abbreviated program after quite a lengthy program last week. And we have back, it's been a while since we had him, your state representative, the one and only Patrick Kearney, who is here, 4th Plymouth District.
4th Plymouth, Marshfield and Scituate.
How are you, sir?
Awesome. Thanks for having me back.
I got to start off, I know we're just coming off of the 4th of July holiday, but I got to thank you for your service to our country. I know you just basically was out in California for a couple of weeks of duty, right?
Yes, thank you so much. It's good to be back, as always, but a pleasure serving in the United States Navy. I'm a reservist, as you know, and so I went out to Benicia, California. I was on a 736-foot offshore petroleum discharge tanker by the name of the Petersburg. It's a fascinating ship. We deliver millions of barrels of fuel from the ship, and we can do so from 5 miles offshore. So we carry 4 Navy tugboats on the deck of the ship, and we can deploy fuel hoses with those tugs and deliver all that fuel from 5 miles offshore to a beachhead, a Marine Corps unit on the beachhead.
What's that like? That's pretty cool.
It's fascinating, and it's one of its kind. It's the only single-bottom tanker left in the world. After the Exxon Valdez oil spill, we required all tankers to be double-bottom, but this is a hull that's from 1963, still operational, and it's an important part of our ability to support our troops in an amphibious assault if necessary. So what's so cool about this ship is, as I was saying before, we don't need to secure a port to deliver the necessary fuel supply to our Marines. It can literally be anchored 5 miles offshore, and then that fuel can be delivered to the beach.
It's a heck of an advantage.
It's really cool.
Is there a thought? So you said that they have double-bottomed ones. So they have, there's something similar to this, but it's not an older model like the one that you're on.
This is the oldest of its kind.
I know that one of the things you and I kind of talked about off-air is a bill that you recently that you filed at the beginning of the year that I think is in committee at this particular time. Do you know what bill I'm talking about here?
We have a bunch of bills that we filed that are in committee right now with all sorts of different topics. So which bill are you talking about?
Well, again, I'm going by your Facebook post. And this was, I believe, one of your first ones. This was to be able to give the Massachusetts Fishermen Partnership a seat at the Seaport Economic Council. What is that?
This is a great bill. And first, I'd like to thank the Baker-Polito administration for noticing this bill and taking quick action to give the Seaport Economic Council a voice to the fishermen. And I filed this bill after talking with Eddie Barrett from Marshfield while I was door knocking. And we were really just talking about all the different regulations that are affecting lobster fishing, commercial dragging, charter boats here in Marshfield and Scituate. And he said the fishermen just don't have a voice when we're spending all of this money on coastal infrastructure to support them. So I filed a bill to require that the Seaport Economic Council give a seat to the Mass Fishermen's Partnership. The Lieutenant Governor saw the bill. She quickly took action, changed the charter, and we appointed Eddie Barrett from Marshfield to the Seaport Economic Council. It's a huge accomplishment in the first couple months of being up there. I'm really excited to deliver on my promise to that community to give them more of a voice. And Marshfield's own Eddie Barrett is the one that is providing that voice, and I'm very happy about that.
And what's some of the hope of some of the things that having a seat on that council can provide here locally in Marshfield?
Well,
actually, the Seaport Economic Council was the one that gave a lot of the grant money to build the Harbor Master Station, to do the revitalization of the pier in Marshfield. They do projects like that throughout coastal communities in the Commonwealth. So when we're talking about spending millions of dollars to support the fishing industry and supporting the infrastructure so that they can do business, it's important that they have a seat at the table. That council also meets quarterly, and with all the different regulations that those fishing communities are facing, it's important that Ed or whoever the next representative is has some time to speak with the administration about their concerns.
Yeah, we are speaking with State Representative Patrick Kearney, who is here joining us. Talk to me about a gentleman named Captain Carl Chancey. Who is this gentleman?
So while I was on the campaign trail this past summer, I was door knocking in Marshfield, and I knock on a door, and the guy, Captain Carl Chancey, comes to the door. I introduced myself. I said, I'm Patrick Kearney, running for state rep. Really love your vote. And we started talking about a few different issues. But the one that really stuck out to me was that he had served 29 years as a member of the U.S. Public Health Service. We have seven different branches of uniformed services in the country: Marine Corps, Air Force, Army, Navy, and Coast Guard. The two that are missing in Massachusetts law are the Public Health Service and the NOAA Corps. So Captain Chancey said, because those two uniformed branches are not included in Massachusetts law, disabled veterans from that community are not able to get the services that they need. So I filed a bill to change the definition of a veteran to include all uniformed branches of the service, to get it concurrent with federal statute so that people like Captain Carl Chancey can get the services that they need. They've served our country. We owe it to them when they come home to give them what they deserve.
Now, where has this bill, has it made it to committee yet?
It was in committee. We had a hearing a couple weeks ago. Captain Chancey actually came up to the State House to testify on the bill, and it's gaining traction, and I am hoping that we get it done soon.
Now, you and I chatted for half a second off air about this, and we mentioned another one of your colleagues here in the South Shore, Dave DeCoste, who I believe serves on a veterans committee. Is he somebody who's also kind of supported your bill?
There's a lot of support for this bill. Representative DeCoste, although we don't always agree on everything, actually, he's a retired, I think he's an Army captain, retired Army captain.
I believe you're right.
He's on the veterans committee, and he heard Captain Chancey's testimony, and I believe he's supporting the bill as well. It's so important to be able to work across party lines to deliver for our veterans, our seniors, our kids, and that's what we're doing with this bill. I'm proud to say that we're doing it.
Looking back over your past 6 months, we just talked about a couple of pieces of legislation that you've been involved with. What's it been like to be able to file legislation and have regular updates as to their progress? Or maybe they might be, you know, not at a point where you want them to be, where you might have to put a little extra mustard on it to give them a push. What's that like for you?
It's been a real honor. We spent a lot of time campaigning to get to a point to be able to do that. And as I was talking with you earlier, I spent a lot of time listening to the concerns of the people of Marshfield and Scituate. They sent me there. I thank all of them for casting their vote for me to be able to make that change. We get phone calls, emails. We hear from constituents all the time in favor of bills, against bills, and we're sticking with our commitment to listening to those concerns and trying to deliver as much as we can to the district. We're still in budget right now. So the House voted on their budget. The Senate voted on their budget. It's in conference committee right now. But I will say one of the things that I really campaigned on was education, and education for everybody. This year's budget, House budget, we made a statewide commitment to increase our education funding by $280 million. And what that means for Marshfield and Scituate is that they used to get $20 per pupil, per student.
It got bumped.
it got bumped to $30 per pupil for Marshfield and Scituate. That's a 50% increase in 1 year for education funding. I've talked with the school committees in both towns, and they're really excited to see what we can do with that.
Is there frustration? Because I've had a chance to have conversations with Representative Josh Cutler. I know that a couple of years ago, he and another representative worked to try to bump that up to $50, $60 per pupil. But my understanding is it's a number that annually gets reset. So there may be some success by the particular legislative body one fiscal year to get it elevated from 20, but it resets. Is there any, what are your thoughts in regards to it not being something, once it's moved up, it not staying there?
Well, Representative Cutler and I work closely together, obviously, with abutting districts, and he, myself, and other legislators from the South Shore delegation had actually asked for that funding to be higher, but we did everything that we could to get it where it needs to be. We got it up $10 per pupil. It's a 50% increase from last year, $280 million investment in our education system. And much like other infrastructure, roads, bridges, transportation, education, opioid prevention, we have a lot of concerns here in the Commonwealth, and we're doing the best that we can to make sure that that money gets spent appropriately and responsibly, with a commitment to the issues that need it the most.
Interesting enough, before you came in here, our next guest who's waiting out in the hallway, you had a chance to have a brief conversation with Joe Rossi, a brilliant mind in regards when it comes to flood insurance, the National Flood Insurance Program. He was just featured in the Patriot Ledger. What are you hearing in regards to flood insurance, knowing that two of the communities you represent are coastal communities?
Yeah, it was great talking with Joe. I'm really happy for all the work that he's done in the community. He keeps a lot of the members of the community that live in flood zones informed on all the changes, on expirations from FEMA to make sure that flood insurance policies aren't lapsing. We have over 3,000 homes in the floodplain in Marshfield and Scituate. He has an expert that's coming in September, and as you and I were talking with him, we're hoping to get him up to the State House to talk to policymakers, to talk to legislators about concerns. Last July, they put in legislation to create a commission to study a state program for grants to lift houses and acquire houses on the coast that are in high velocity zones. So we have a lot going on with flood insurance. Flood maps, as you know, there was a flood map that came out that wasn't completely accurate for
the
homes.
Thank you,
FEMA. Yeah. So it's important to for us, and we are working with our federal delegation to make sure that people aren't overpaying to live in the homes that they've had in their family for some hundreds of years sometimes.
Well, I am hoping, and I teased at this, and let's see if we can make it come to fruition, is maybe we can get both you and Joe to of the brightest, youngest minds that we have here on the South Shore and talking about this issue and more. Because both it was fascinating to see you two kind of engage for a couple of moments and talk. And it's great that you guys have, you know, the two communities that you really serve in mind in most of the coast. Again, knowing Joe is the chairman of the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition, and will also be on just in a couple of minutes to follow this. So it's refreshing.
He's
to see
a brilliant
folks.
Guy. We try to talk as much as we can about those issues, coastal issues, and I'm very lucky to have him as an advisor, a friend, and certainly the Coastal Coalition, the coastal communities are lucky as well.
You know, and speaking of the next generation, young minds. I believe you had a student delegation from Marshfield up a couple of months ago. What was it like to host students from Marshfield up at the State House?
It's been actually a huge surprise, but also an excitement to see members of the youth community up at the State House. And I've seen people from the Marshfield Youth in Government. Just last week, we had a small group of Marshfield students up for an award. They got second or third place for an economics statewide competition. We had the Scituate football, Super Bowl football team up to the State House. That youth engagement and seeing government firsthand and talking to those students about how what we do at the State House affects them now with their education and affects their future is part of that commitment that I have to civic engagement. And I think if we're going to make positive change and start to move the Commonwealth and the country in the right direction, it's all about engaging youth, getting them involved in the process, encouraging them to get registered to vote and to get out and vote.
But are you interested? Do you find it interesting that your district, or do you see a lot of the other representatives here on the South Shore where they're seeing that same kind of civic engagement from their student population and the student groups that want to come up and learn more about how government works?
We see different groups from all sorts of districts up at the State House, but I certainly think that the 4th Plymouth is a very active community, both in the district and up at the State House, whether that's the Invent team with their robotics accomplishments.
Oh, my God. Robotics, it's awesome these days.
Incredible. With youth in government at Marshfield, sports in both towns. We do a great job in our community of fostering a community that encourages young, brilliant minds.
Critical thinking
to be involved in whatever they want to be involved in and make a positive difference going forward. And we see that up at the State House. We see it in the district. I'm proud to represent that. And I think that's a huge testament to parents in the community and teachers in both Marshfield and Scituate schools.
Again, fan of your social media. When we had the big issue with the unions and Stop and Shop, you were one of many local leaders who stood with the union leaders. And I even saw a picture of you with Vice President Biden. I mean, what's it like to be out and about in the public and supporting community and meeting people?
It was a huge testament to our core values in the state, because it was not just legislators that were standing with those Stop and Shop workers. We saw a massive reduction in people shopping there until they had their contracts settled. I testified on a bill last week to bring time and a half wages back on Sundays and holidays. Back in the 90s when we were repealing the blue laws, we brought retailers, small business owners, church groups, workers, unions all together, and we said if people are going to be working on Sundays and holidays, away from their families, away from their kids, that they should be paid appropriately for that. And last July, as a part of the grand bargain, the legislature got rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tough for me to go stand with those striking workers, knowing that when I wasn't there in the legislature, that there were certain people that voted against their own salaries. So there's a bill in front of the legislature to bring that back. And I testified in front of the Committee on Labor and Workforce Development last week and said we should not be pitching a grand bargain, getting rid of time and a half on Sundays and holidays, when the first grand bargain that we pitched in the 90s to allow stores to open on Sundays, part of that agreement was that time and a half.
Proper compensation.
And when we were talking to those Stop and Shop workers on the picket line, they say that 50% of their business is happening on Sundays, and they rely on that extra money and in their paycheck when they work on Sundays to get by. So I'm happy that legislation is in front of us, and I'm hoping that we can bring that back.
Well, Representative, our time is about to come to an end here. If folks want to get in touch with you, do you hold regular district hours, or is there a way for them to reach out to your district office?
Absolutely. So we can be reached at patrick.kearney@mahouse.gov. Mm-hmm. It's a work email. 617-722-2000 is our State House phone number. And you can always reach out to us on social media. My page is Patrick Kearney. You can look us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are doing everything that we can to talk to our district as much as possible. We also hold office hours at the Marshfield Senior Center on Friday mornings and the Scituate Council on Aging Friday mornings, and we post those office hours in the Mariner and on our social media platforms.
Representative, it's been fantastic having you in. And hopefully we'll have you back in September.
Kevin, always a pleasure. Looking forward to it. We should definitely bring Joe in after our conversation on the flood insurance with the legislators, and we'll give the community an update on everything that we're working on up on the Hill.
That's fantastic and continued success, sir.
You're the best, Kev. Thanks for having me.
We are going to step aside, and when we come back, well, we've already teased it a few times. Joe Rossi, you know him as the chair of the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition. He'll be joining us in just a few moments here on 95.9 WATD. You're listening to Monday Night Talk.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Some years ago, in the city of Boston, a local politician took advantage of a fortunate coincidence. His name just happened to be John F. Kennedy. The same name as you know who. Now, each election cycle, he never advertised. Not a sign to be seen, no speeches, no campaign, no problem. He never lost. What's in a name? Well, sometime later, a fed-up citizen legally changed his name so as to become a certain winner on the ballot. What was his new legal name? None of the above. Yeah, he changed it to that. Of course, the clerk wouldn't put him on the ballot.
Hi, I'm Peter Brown from Tiny & Sons Auto Glass. As you know, we work with all the elected officials who are involved in community service. They're actually a hardworking bunch, and they really do their best. And so do we.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We return for our second and final segment of Monday Night Talk. And as I mentioned earlier, this is an abbreviated, compared to last week's show, this is an abbreviated version of Monday Night Talk. And we are privileged to have a good friend. Time to time, he's my co-host. But he is an expert, recently recognized by the Patriot Ledger for his ability to understand what's going on when it comes to flood insurance. You remember back a few years ago, flood insurance, the FEMA flood maps, all of that, the National Flood Insurance Program, were big things. And Joe is one of those guys who is in the heart of that conversation. He would be one of the featured speakers. He's one of the premier guys now, not only here on the East Coast, but I think he's becoming one of those guys who is going to have a national reputation. Joe Rossi, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Well, thank you for the accolades, Kevin. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I just don't give accolades to anybody, Joe. You have deserved them. I really like the picture that they took of you. And, of course, you are the chair of the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition as well. Of course, this has been grown from what it was, just basically the Marshfield, the Citizens Coastal Coalition.
Yeah,
right?
Yep. Just a group of concerned homeowners back in 2012 to a nationally recognized board of experts, and 20, 19, and you know, it's when I don't often reflect on the work that we collectively have done as a board, and when I look back now and I see a full board of directors, a full fully appointed advisory council of national experts that now oversees the board's operation, I see we have volunteer staff we've now brought on board to actually oversee some of the programs that we do. And sometimes I don't take enough time to just look at what we're doing now compared to when we got started in 2012 and really appreciate the support that we've had from the community as a whole for the last seven, almost 8 years now.
Yeah, I know you do regular vignettes for the news department just to kind of, they try to keep their finger on the pulse of what's going on with the National Flood Insurance Program, any changes. We know that there have been on-again, off-again conversations where they've kicked the can down the road and they've continued it. And it, we've had you here to have extended conversations because it's, I think, giving you just a couple of minutes doesn't do justice to what the situation is. Knowing that here we are a little bit more than a week since the start of the month of July, are we seeing, is there anything to keep our eyes on when it comes to flood insurance and the national program itself?
Yeah, there's always something going on. And I remember years ago when the maps had been, the flood maps on the town of Marshfield, Scituate, Duxbury had kind of gone off to and been approved. And I looked at my board at the time and I said, you know, I wonder how much more there really is going to be to do when it comes to the National Flood Insurance Program. And shortly after, as we've found out, there is never a short amount of stuff going on with the program. And there's always something to do, to talk about, to understand. Well, starting in July, starting back on July 1st, there is a major change, which is going to overall affect the program in a positive way, although there is still some confusion in the lending industry on this issue, which is the regulatory agencies. So there are federal agencies which regulate lending. And so those agencies make rules for those lenders, and in turn, the entire lending industry. And they have started on July 1st a new rule that makes it mandatory for a lender to accept a private flood insurance policy if the policy meets certain criteria. So what this basically means is federal private flood insurance means flood insurance found anywhere outside of the federal government's program, the National Flood Insurance Program. And there's, I think the last estimate was 160 different companies offering different flood private flood insurance options. So there's now a whole industry out there that's offering this type of private flood insurance. One of the major issues we've run into the last few years is as this becomes more of a common type of insurance to have, the private flood insurance, you know, lenders, not all the time, but every so often are kind of hesitant where does this policy actually meet the regulations that are out there for if you have to have flood insurance, you have it. And that's called mandatory purchase. So what this rule does is it changes that. If the policy that an agent is selling to you has those items in it, then the lender has no choice. They have to accept that policy.
Very interesting. So what are you coming across as? And now, are you somebody who sells policies as well?
So I'm the flood specialist at Rogers and Gray Insurance. And we as part of my purview there and part of my tenure at the agency, I've tried to bring in really hard to bring in some private options that aren't just private flood options. These are really solid options. And even before this rule was finalized, it had been a draft rule since 2013. So it took the regulatory agencies a long time to finalize this rule. But the draft rule in 2013 outlined almost all of what they ended up adopting in the final rule. So a lot of the private flood insurance companies, again, not all of them, but a lot of them started to adopt some of those items to put in their flood policies back in 2013. So we brought in several companies that had these types of things already in their private flood insurance policies. So our clients at Rogers and Gray, if you bought a private flood policy from us, then your policy will meet the regulations that started July 1st.
And so you're saying that there are, that if you are somebody who is a homeowner, and depending on who your lender is, whoever your agent is that provides flood insurance, you may want to take a look at your policy to make sure that that not everybody who is providing flood insurance, who is a lender, may have all the stuff that meets the regs as of the just a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Kevin, because one of the concerns that's been out there in the lending industry is the rule basically breaks private flood insurance into two pots. You either have the mandatory acceptance if the policy meets all the requirements, or you have what's called the discretionary acceptance, which is it doesn't have all those requirements. Now the lender has the option of whether they're going to accept that policy or not. Now, what I'll tell you is, I would say 90% of residential policies will fall under what's called mandatory acceptance. They have all the things in the policy. They meet the definition of private flood by the regulators. The lender will accept the policy. Where we're going to see a lot more of this discretionary acceptance is going to be on the large commercial policies, right? Policies that have $500,000 deductibles for coverage of $10 million. So those are the types of things where the lender really is going to have to do their due diligence to see if the policy meets those requirements. So most of our residential customers or in our listeners won't have to worry about whether the policy will meet the new regulations or not. What I will tell you, though, is there may be a time, you know, because these policies, what the regulators have said is if the policy is already with the lender, it doesn't have to be checked now. It has to be checked on renewal. So if the policy renews next year and all of a sudden your lender's asking you a bunch of questions, don't panic. That's just because they're required to review that policy based on the new rule. So, yes, yeah, so you do want to get ahead of it, though. You're right, Kevin, and ask your agent to make sure your policy falls under what we call mandatory acceptance, because you're going to want that policy upon renewal to be accepted.
You know, it's so interesting. It's a difficult chore to be a homeowner.
It is.
And again, this is just a matter of just, you know, whether it's you're somebody, your first time home buyer, somebody who purchases multiple properties, you know, taking a look at it, you're thinking about buying it, or maybe you already have bought it, and then you need to, it's the upkeep. And it's things like having certain insurances, because you never know when when you're going to need to go to your agent and say, I have had flood damage. And it doesn't necessarily, you don't necessarily, because you and I have had conversations, you don't necessarily have to be someone who lives in a coastal community to sustain flood damages. Am I right?
Yeah, and you don't have to be, you know, anywhere. And we hear this all the time at the Coalition and, you know, in my professional career at Rogers and Gray. I hear this all the time, which is, you know, I'm nowhere near the water, but I'm still being asked to carry flood insurance. And, you know, there's usually a good reason, and that's because our area here and really all over the country, 33% of flooding is inland flooding, so away from the coast, and about 35% is coastal flooding, and then the rest are other flooding, such as you know, dams and snow melts and that type of flooding. So riverine or inland flooding consists of almost as much as the coastal flooding, and our maps across the country, our flood maps, reflect that by asking people in high-risk flood zones in riverine areas to carry flood insurance, even if you're far away from the coast. So, you know, flooding can happen anywhere. What we try to tell people is if it rains, it can flood. Where it rains, it can flood. So, you know, if you have a You know, the example I like to use is you have a 8%, 9% chance of a fire in a 30-year mortgage and a 26% chance of a flood. So you have a higher flood chance than you do a fire. So, yeah, so you're right. It's and really, I think one of the big reasons that we've done so much of the outreaches that we've done over the many years and all the services that we now provide at the COSA Coalition is because we realize that as a homeowner, as a property owner, the information that you're looking for is just an average person that doesn't, you know, we're experts, right? And I say we as the members of the COSA Coalition, people in the insurance field, people in all the different flood-related fields, lending, all the ones that I mentioned earlier as well, we're all experts, and that's not the average person, and that's what we understand, and that's why we try to get out into the community.
Yeah, I was speaking with Joe Rossi, who is not only the chair of the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition, not only someone who is with the agency Rogers and Gray, but he's been a long-time expert and somebody who doesn't just, he's not just book smart, but this is somebody who attends many different conferences and is up on the latest changes to legislation, whether it's here locally in the Commonwealth or it's down in Washington, something federally. Do we have any federal changes? Any legislative changes we're expecting? And also, if you can add it into the same comment. Any conferences that are coming up that you'll be attending to attain more information to share?
Yeah, so thank you, Kevin. Let me talk to the conferences first because there's something really big going on in Boston this week. On Wednesday, there is a what's called the Resiliency Roundtable happening in Boston where federal officials from all over the country are coming to Boston to talk about how to make our region more resilient. Now, I was so fortunate enough, I'm actually speaking at this event. And I'm speaking on challenges that our communities have faced in recovering from storms. And what's really cool about that is that's one of the really big things that we've done in the last 2 years is gone into our communities before and after large events to talk to the not only the communities, but the people within those communities, the citizens of those communities, about the challenges that they face, either before an event, preparing, or after event, recovering. So we have an extremely, at the COSA Coalition, we have an extremely good handle on what our communities are facing before and after storms. So that's one big event that's coming, and I think we will, as a region, see some great benefits from this roundtable. The other big event that's going on is I leave next week for a servicing conference, a flood servicing conference called the Torrent Summer Session. Torrent Technologies is a company that basically helps the companies that sell the federal flood insurance. They help them, those companies, service those policies. So they have underwriting staff, claims people. They're the ones. So they're asked me to speak as well at their conference in Montana. Believe it or not, they're having a flood conference in Montana. But really, it's because their headquarters is there, and that's where actually between them and another company, that's where about 70% of our nation's flood policies go through this one town in Montana to get serviced. It's actually kind of interesting. And I'll be out there speaking about something that's really important to me as a agent and also something that we at the Coalition see as a headache for people, whether they realize it or not, which is the trying to what we call underwrite or compare federal flood insurance and private flood insurance and how they work together and how to protect consumers better by looking at both worlds because they currently don't speak to each other. For example, if you leave the federal program to go to a private policy and then try to come back to the federal program, you now incur a penalty, a big penalty in some cases. But if if your agent or if the company that you're being written with through the NFIP or private flood insurance, if they don't do their due diligence, you could be left with a penalty and not even know it. And so I'm being asked to speak at the summer session out in Montana about how not only us at the agency, but Rogers and Gray, but also at the COSA Coalition, when we're talking to people about these issues, what we're seeing, and how as an industry we can come together. Because I'm of the belief, Kevin, that it's not just us at the Coalition or protecting my intellectual knowledge, whether it be at the Coalition or at Rogers and Gray. I'm under the belief that if we can educate everyone, that's other agents, realtors, lenders, the average community and stakeholder, that we need to do that in order to make the whole industry better. So these are the types of things that we're trying to get the entire industry to at least recognize that this is an issue and talk to them through those issues, and how can we institute some best practices to better protect the consumer.
I have to say, though, listening to you, I thoroughly enjoy our conversations. If we could do like a whole show on it, I don't know if the listeners would have an appetite for it, but I have a thorough appreciation for the knowledge that you have. But I can also see how it could be a tangled mess for somebody who doesn't understand. Yeah. There's so much to pay attention to here and be on top of, be aware of, just for that small aspect of protecting your home.
Yeah.
What do you do as an agent to make sure that it's simplified?
Yeah.
But yet it's containing all the information. When you speak to a prospective buyer or somebody who is coming to you for assistance.
Sure. So let me just take one step back and talk to a little bit, and then I'll lead up to that by saying by talking about the legislative changes that are coming up. Mm-hmm. The House has passed some bills through out of committee. They now have to be passed in the House of Representatives. Then the Senate will come out with their own version. The program has been extended to September 30th. So we do have some time for that process to move forward.
Very good.
And in terms of, you know, how do we as professionals, whether it be agents or realtors or whoever it is, talk to an average homeowner? It's very complicated, as you can tell by this conversation.
It is.
And when I talk about the industries, I don't talk about them as if they're totally ignorant about it. They're not. I mean, there's a lot of very good people in that understand what's going on, but it's really the information sometimes isn't necessarily put out there in a way that is the best to understand and clearest. And I think that's what we have really tried to do and strive to do the last 7 or 8 years on the COSA Coalition, is get that information really simplified. And that is the best way. And in one of the recent panels I was on at a conference in Washington, D.C., I made the point that, you know, how are we going to communicate these issues? How are we going to communicate and simplify these things? Well, you do it by bringing other people into the conversation. When we did our post-disaster outreaches last year, after these big events in these different communities, we brought in experts in building compliance, in home elevations, and all these different industries. So by bringing them together, we had conversations with people and they understood the topic much more simply. So when you're out there and you're trying to talk to somebody about the issue of flood, you just need to make sure that you're bringing all the interested parties together, simplify the information, and make sure that they only need to know what they need to know and not all the details. And I think that's where FEMA might struggle sometimes, is they have to talk about the details because they can't simplify things per their own rules. We have the ability to do that.
Yeah, we're speaking with Joe Rossi. Joe, we're up against the clock here. Folks want to find out more about the Massachusetts Coastal Coalition, some of the things that are going on, or even outreach for Rogers and Gray. How can they do that?
So if you want to reach us at the COSA Coalition, which is the best place to go, you just go to NoFlood, that's K-N-O-W, NoFlood.org. We now have a services tab and a membership, so nice. Become a member. Membership is free.
Do you look for any kind of financial assistance at all in order to kind of keep things going for The MCC?
We were grassroots funded, so you know, feel free to donate to us. And we also have some services that we now offer, some flood risk services. You can order elevation certificates through us, zone determinations, letter of map amendments, and those all help. That's essentially, even though you're paying for a service, they end up coming back to us as donations. So if you're thinking about buying any one of those things because you need one anyways, go to our site and take a look.
Joe, thank you so much. I do want to tease you, and that is, if this was going to be a longer show, I was hoping to get a good friend of ours on, because I know you love talking cars. I was trying to get either Junior D'Amato or John Paul on.
Oh, okay.
Maybe try to get you on in August sometime.
That'd be great.
Just to either the co-host or even to talk cars.
Yeah.
I know you love talking flood insurance, but...
I do. Well, I have a place for that now. The COSA Coalition just started a podcast.
Of course they did.
So now I get 1 hour each month to talk about this stuff. So those will be on our website as well. But I appreciate that, Kevin. And maybe next time we'll talk about something a little bit more fun and light rather than such a serious topic.
Excellent. There he is. Joe Rossi, our guest. And we thank you for tuning into this... this week's Monday Night Talk, we thank our guests, not only Joe Rossi, but State Representative Patrick Kearney for coming in and chatting with us. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great night.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.